Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
3, 4.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Burn.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Good Friday.
Sada.
Dropping Souk, Sports Bros. I'm Rob.
Asada.
Big Souk's right over there.
Right here.
With
he was just pointing out there's another hot in the cabinet that we missed, because we were talking about this yesterday, but now you've got Kelly
Loeffler.
Loeffler.
She's the new Secretary of Agriculture, and in a stunning development, she's a hot.
I think she's also a WNBA owner.
Yeah,
and
she's the one that everyone hated, right?
Well, she's the one who said that her players had to stand for the national anthem, and they told her to shove it.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, she's a tall, pretty blonde lady. So what we need to do now is set the over-under on number of affairs or children that will happen in the White House over the next 4 years.
6.5.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And quite frankly, I couldn't even be upset at it. Like, there's just...
I'll get it in.
He's compiling just this team of hots. It's going to be like, what is it, like MILF Island over there.
Bang, bang.
What are those, like, reality shows where they just put all the good-looking people together and they're like, oh, let's see what happens. This is what's going down.
I bet I know what happens. They all start doing it.
Dude, if you're J.D. Vance, be careful, buddy.
Coming up, we've got our college football F-about. Joey Harrington will be here. And coming up later, are you a narcissist? A Christmas tree experiment. But right now, yeah.
Now I need to know.
Yeah, you do. Right now, though, the Hot 5 at 5.
07.
On the
hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Blazers road trip continues tonight. They are in Houston.
This is their biggest point spread of the year.
I know.
Like 12.5.
Yeah, kind of a bad spot for him, maybe. Well, a lot of injuries. Rockets are good. The Rockets are 11-5.
I guess they're saying, too, that Jeremy Grant's got the floozies, and that it might be going around the team.
Well, they said Grant, Simons, and Scoot are all questionable.
Yeah.
Scoot and got Ayton, banged up.
Scoot's out. He's officially out.
He's out, okay. And then Ayton's doubtful, but that means he's likely not going to play.
Buck, have you been making out with Jeremy Grant? Is that was
hell yeah, man. He's a beautiful man.
I don't know, man.
You know, Jeremy Grant is a good-looking man.
He is. 12.5 points is a lot, though. That, to me, may be a no-touchies there. Like, eh, I'll leave that one alone.
Or they lose by 30.
Or they lose by 30, which, again, I'm not touched. I'm just going to leave that.
Well, they have backed me off big time since the start of the year.
Yeah.
With all this good
this,
play.
With this win.
Ayton also officially out.
Again with the finger?
Deep number finger contusion.
Four. I swear. Deep finger
look,
contusion.
We all know what they're doing, and it's the right thing.
Too late. They already have 6 wins.
Well, you sound better late than never.
As this show goes on,
it gets worse.
It's phenomenal.
And I can't raise my voice because it gets worse when I do that, too.
Oh, gosh.
Reports Jets owner Woody Johnson already ready to move on from Aaron Rodgers, and he will not be retained in 2025.
No, they're...
Would save him $10 million.
Well, they tried to bench him, you know, after week 5, and that was one of the
And why would they do that?
Woody Johnson literally fired Robert Saleh because Robert Saleh wouldn't bench Aaron Rodgers.
But why? Like, what
Woody
are they going to turn to...
Woody Johnson is a moron.
Turn to Tyrod Taylor?
Yes.
Or, no, is
yes,
it Tyrod
it's
Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor.
That's what he wanted.
Why?
Woody Johnson, imagine Robert Saleh getting fired after a 2-3 start because he wouldn't bench Aaron Rodgers for Tyrod Taylor. If you want to know how bad of an owner Woody Johnson is, I give you
so,
that.
So, do you think Rodgers will be on another team next year? Or do you think he's done? I mean, he said he'd like to play.
He said he'd like to play. I just don't know. I really don't think there's a landing spot.
Vikings? Who's taking that on?
Well, it depends on the money, but yeah. Vikings?
Well, first off, Aaron Rodgers, we can talk about this.
Yeah.
I really don't think there's a landing spot, but we can.
All right.
We can
Well, thank God the NFL amended its policy last season. They can now flex Thursday night games weeks 13 through 17 if they give 28 days notice. And today they did it for the first time. So instead of Browns-Bengals in week 16, we are going to get Broncos-Chargers in Los Angeles.
And who would have thought that game would be good? And yet, you know, that's a great game. We have Bo Nix playing well.
Well, we thought Browns-Bengals would be, but
yeah.
We thought wrong.
Wrong. And since he may be done, too, I mean, their chances of making the playoffs at this point are slim and none. So, yes, I do love that we can flex games. Thank heavens.
Yeah. So that's the first time they've actually flexed a Thursday night game, which, you know, obviously for scheduling and travel and everything, it's very difficult to do that, but they did give them about a month a notice so the teams can adjust.
Number two.
Well, Daniel Jones requested and is granted his release by the Giants. Since he's owed so much money, he will likely not be claimed off waivers, and then he would hit free agency. It's a situation that resembles a few years ago when Baker Mayfield played the last 5 games for the Rams.
Baker Mayfield was actually pretty good. And
Not at the time.
No,
see, he's
that's
resurrected
true.
Himself, but at the time, he was scrap heap guy.
Yeah, I just don't know. Maybe Dallas. I mean, I don't know. It's Daniel Jones being brought
in. I think Raiders should go get him.
Yeah,
but they're not trying to win either.
They're not trying to win. I mean, it's just...
I don't know. Nah.
He'll be a backup somewhere next year. Maybe a bridge guy. But
would you take Daniel Jones over Dylan Gabriel if you're the Ducks?
Yes.
Yeah, you thought about it.
I would. I would take him.
You sure?
Yeah. You sure about that? You sure about
that? Let me give you one more chance. You sure about that?
Yes.
I'll be the Duck Homer. I want Gabriel.
I think I might want Gabriel, too.
He's got it humming with this offense.
I don't want pouty Jones face on my sideline.
New playbook for Jones? Get out of here.
Gabriel's a handsome fella.
Well, again, I'm assuming you give me a while to get him ready.
Nope.
No. Then yes.
Tomorrow.
I'll stick with...
Don't make assumptions.
He's got the bye week to figure it out for
I'll
you,
I'll stick with Dylan Gabriel.
And Brock Purdy is out for Sunday's game in Green Bay for the Niners. It will be Brandon Allen time. Also, Nick Bosa out for San Francisco, who needs a win at 5-5.
Dude, they need a win in the worst way. They don't look good. 5-5. And Buck, you were even saying, because I was talking about this is such a pivotal game. The odds for playoffs if they win versus lose?
Yeah, they have the whole like football power index thing. A loss would put them at under 15% to make the playoffs. A win puts them back over 50%.
Yeah, because remember, after this, you're 5-5. You lose to Green Bay, you go to 5-6. You're on the road at Buffalo. And at that point, you're probably 5-7? And you're probably dead in the water. This is a monster game for the 49ers, and you don't have your best defensive player. The other one is, even though he's not the same player, like he's not the defensive player of the year type right now, have you seen their pressure rate and success rate with him on the field when he's and versus when he's not there?
I've not.
Their defense falls apart when he is the only one applying any sort of havoc, any sort of pressure, and they cannot rush the quarterback when he is not on the field. I mean, it is alarming.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Score big this Black Friday at Victor Rico's. Buy a $30 gift card and get a free $12 burrito.
Ooh, tasty.
Friday, November 29th only. Our college football F About is next on The Fan. All right, we'll get Joey Harrington in here in 10 minutes. But our college football F About begins. Hey, do you know, I want to see if you, this was trending, so I don't know if you saw this on social media, but if you didn't, take a guess on what the hottest ticket in college football is this weekend. And you know all the games, right? Indiana, Ohio State,
BYU, Arizona State's a big one.
Kansas, Colorado.
I've got a guess.
Florida, Ole Miss.
Is it Notre Dame Army at Yankee Stadium?
Ooh, that's a great guess.
Yeah.
That is not the answer.
But I bet that's a hot ticket.
The hottest ticket in college football. Do you want to take a stab?
I'm looking through. Because I knew the handful of games. It's not a great slate.
Is it your Jayhawks?
No.
Oh. No, there's not another.
They're playing at, is it Arrowhead? Or no, they're playing at the soccer stadium in Kansas City.
Yeah, they're playing at the, Arrowhead.
Is it at Arrowhead? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. They've bounced back and forth. Yeah. Montana State is the number one ticket.
Okay.
They said $320 average ticket price for that game.
Yikes.
At Montana State. That's followed by Alabama playing Oklahoma. That's a big one out in Sooner Land. That's $293. And then Yale-Harvard, $222 ticket.
Well, I'll be damned.
Hard to get a ticket to that.
I would not think about that. Number two, Montana State fighting for their first ever 12-0 record.
About that.
So Montana State now greater than Montana?
Seems like this year, maybe.
Do we know what is Montana ranked?
You think I know that?
Oh, I just thought maybe you looked it up. And
aren't you a football guy?
I don't know if you know this about me, but I pay no attention to small-time football.
Hey, Montana's got a good football vibe.
Number nine, though. Montana.
Okay, so Montana's, so it's a top 10 matchup?
Top 10 matchup. And Montana State is undefeated.
And what are they ranked?
Two.
Two.
Number two in the country
versus
number nine.
Two V9 and two hosts. Yeah, dude, I can see why that's it. Because football is a huge deal there.
Yes.
But this is on tilt.
And we've talked about this. If I'm Montana or Montana State, because the idea was like, if the Pac-12 in the Mountain West, would you go sniffing around and see if you would want to elevate? And if I'm Montana and Montana State, I just like where I'm at. Like, it matters. It's a big deal. You play for national championships. I would not want to. You don't have the money and resources to go up and play with the big boys. And why would you want to go up and be another just middle of the road? Even if you ended up being a good group of five team, you're not beating big programs.
Do those schools have collectives too?
Yeah, you can.
I know you can, but do they?
I would assume so to some extent. Just, you know, you don't have a $15 million budget, but
they still may operate the old school way.
No one operates the old school way.
Well, they could.
Why would you?
Well, just give them cash.
Oh, well, yeah. Just, but that's how it's, well.
I bet that they do the same thing as everybody else on a smaller scale.
Yeah. Yeah, you're giving them cash. Yeah, it's just under the guy. Yeah, I see where you're going. I was confused there for a minute, but I see where you're going.
Indiana, Ohio State, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
It's the first game right out of the gate. Number five v number two.
Let's go.
This is great.
I hope we get a good game. I have my doubts.
The big nooner.
I mean, it's a 10.5-point spread. I just can't get that Indiana-Michigan game out of my head. But
well,
Ohio State with a reshuffled O-line. And
I just don't know how anybody can really know what Indiana's going to bring to the table because they just have not been tested like this.
Google me, bitch.
No idea. Obviously, they're good.
Yeah.
Good pass rush, right?
Yeah.
Good players. Mm-hmm. Good coach.
And their coach.
Good quarterback.
Yeah.
I saw somebody arguing that they have the better of the two quarterbacks in the game, and that may be true. But there's a whole different level of player over there at Ohio State that Indiana has not played this season at all.
And when they played Michigan, Michigan is not a good football team right now. Michigan just has better athletes, and Michigan should have won that game. And you're about to face those same athletes, but that are actually good players and a good scheme. And it's in Columbus. That's just, I do not see that And maybe it's a battle, but that to me, Ohio State will win that game by 2 scores. I feel pretty confident in that. I hope I'm wrong. Hope Indiana shocks the world, but I do not think that that will be the case.
Also, 9 a.m., Ole Miss is at Florida.
Maybe. I mean, Florida's playing better.
Well, no, they are there. They're going to play it.
I know. Well, Florida has been an interesting case study because it's the toughest schedule in the history of college football. We figured Billy Napier would be fired by now. They played Georgia okay.
Ole Miss has to win.
Texas blew the doors off of them, and then they found a way to beat LSU last week. But Ole Miss is in a must-win situation, and the Florida offensive line and quarterback play is pretty shaky, and Ole Miss arguably has the best front in college football. It, from a Havoc standpoint, it's number one in pressure rate, Havoc score, all that. Ole Miss is going to run roughshod.
SMU has an interesting one. They're 13th. They're 9-1. They're trying to get into that ACC title game. They're playing at Virginia.
Is Virginia have anything?
5-5. But it's on the road.
I haven't seen anything that...
Heard a little nuggy that Virginia's coach is 13-3 against the spread when a dog by more than a touchdown, which that is tonight.
Okay.
Or this weekend.
It's interesting. Little factoid. I have not watched 1 second of Virginia football. I don't
Why
know
would
nothing
you?
About them.
Why wouldn't.
I'm just like, eh.
You care about that big Georgia-UMass game?
I don't. It's the worst part about the SEC, and I know there's plenty of stuff to not like about the SEC, but that stupid UMass week and Citadel and all that crap before rivalry week, it's so bad.
12:30 games. We've got Kentucky visiting Texas. We've got BYU visiting Arizona State and Colorado visiting Kansas in Kansas City.
Who would have thought those two games right there would have massive college football playoff implications?
Two Big 12 games. Yep. And then another one in the Big Ten, Penn State at Minnesota. You mentioned you like the Gophers to keep that close.
I do. If you're looking for a kind of an off the board upset,
you're headed towards
week,
Turdville.
I would just say keep an eye on that. Penn State's favored by 12, so Penn State should win going away. But Penn State can look a little ugly at times, as we all know we've seen over the years. And Minnesota's not a bad football team. I think Minnesota might be able to hang around and keep this thing close.
4 o'clock is Army Notre Dame.
That's the one. I will sit down for that, and I know that they're going to get bludgeoned, but.
Yankee Stadium.
Army is undefeated. And if there just is any magic in the football world, any magic from the football gods, Army beating Notre Dame, knocking Notre Dame out of the playoff, and Army going undefeated, I it would be, to me, the story of the year. And well, no one's well, talking
well, about it. I don't got a brain man cold, but they're.
No one's talking about Army. No one's mentioned it all year. We just assume it's going to be Boise State. And I say, well, why not Army? And then we watch Navy get beat by like 40 against Notre
Dame. I just don't think anybody has faith that Army
probably
has the horses to beat them.
Well, they don't, but Northern Illinois didn't either.
But you know what's interesting, though? You're right. Northern Illinois didn't either. But I also think that Northern Illinois has better players than Army.
Yes, they do.
And...
they've won like 3 games all year.
What's interesting is that the spread is only 14.
In some places, it's down. It's,
you know, the
it's,
odds
it's
makers aren't
that.
Dumb.
No.
Last I checked. I mean, that's, you know.
Hey, keeping it.
There's a lot of those this weekend that are 10 to 15 point spreads that are, the favorite is the road team.
Yeah.
You know somebody's going to get bounced. Like Alabama's another one. They're going on the road to Oklahoma. Again, it's another one of those. Oklahoma's 5-5, but it's in Norman. 14-point spread, should win, but, you know, that's the theme this week, is all of those games. The Indiana-Ohio State, that's double digits. The SMU-Virginia, we mentioned. The Alabama-Oklahoma, Florida-Ole Miss, that's really the theme, except for those two Big 12 games.
Yeah.
And those games are field goal games.
Yeah. So, it's just, anytime you think, like you said, anytime you think that there's nothing to watch, college football usually
I bet you
turns its
I bet you tomorrow is bananas. Seriously, I bet it gets wild.
I hope so.
With some of these games.
I love it. And at the end of the year, because you pencil out all you want. Oh, this one's in, that one's in, and we project it out, and then this comes along and just kicks everyone right in the teeth.
One other game, Pac-12.
It's the Pac-12. Pac-2 championship.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah. We got that, too. Yeah. Oregon State playing Washington State.
Yeah, it's the Pac-12 champ.
Yeah. But we also have USC, UCLA.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a week early. I don't know why.
I kind of forgot about that. Because USC ends with Notre Dame. I don't know who UCLA is.
But they used to end with UCLA. I don't know why they switched that.
Did they? I thought they ended with
Notre Dame. Yeah, it used to be their end-of-season rivalry game.
Okay.
They always played Notre Dame late, like in November, yeah. I think. But, yeah, they usually finish with their rival or their crosstown rival.
I just love anytime Buck chimes in. I want Buck to permanently be like this. I just think it's great.
He's got gurgle voice. Like
I love
John
that
Anthony.
He's giving me confirmed
can we get
information.
Can we get a three-hour show from you after we're done here tonight?
No. No, no, we cannot.
Could he make it 3 hours on his own?
I don't think so. Not without some help.
Sports talk?
No. At some point, it would just be...
What would happen if you had a cigarette right now?
Oh, God, that sounds horrible.
I think we can make it happen.
I don't want one.
I got to tell you, I love cigarette voice.
Yeah.
Like on a, you know, like when I was younger.
Sure.
On a gal, you know?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Hey. You know, that.
I'm Janelle Anthony.
Although it's hot when it's a young... But cigarette voice on 52-year-old gal is a little...
Yeah, it's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't age well. The same.
But I get where you're going. You know, the hot 25-year-old bartender. Yeah, burning heaters. I get it.
All right.
Okay.
By the way, we didn't even talk about this, but Ryan Day have a problem if Indiana wins?
Yes. Yeah, he's
like not survive the season problem.
It's a big problem. I mean, they'd still make the playoff even if they lost Indiana, but I think that first round game, which would like be like a Boise State type, it would be a monster game. I mean, he will be under serious pressure if he loses to Indiana as a double digit favorite at home. That's a big one.
All right, there's your college football F around. Joey Harrington joins us next on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, it is Football Friday with Joey Harrington. The Ducks are on a bye. I have a very provocative question to open the show.
Provocative?
Are you ready?
I like it.
I like that word, yeah. Good.
Have you ever known a player to defecate on a coach's car?
No. Yeah. I haven't. Would you like to rephrase the question?
Ooh, interesting. Have you ever heard of a player defecating on a coach's car?
That's good.
No.
What is a
player? Would you like to rephrase the question?
Why do you keep telling us there is something about someone defecating on a coach's car?
I never said anybody defecated on a coach's car.
What is the rumor?
I said that somebody defecated on the owner's car.
The owner's car. That's actually better.
That's even better. That's even
I know. Better.
So what is this about, and why on earth did we not, like, where did this come from?
Well, this came from a couple weeks ago because we were talking about something, and it got boring or something like that, and you're like, well, you never bring any good stories anymore. I was like, well, what do you expect me to do? Talk about the time when, you know, a player on the team took a dump on the owner's car? And you're like, what?
The answer to that question is yes.
And it was right at the end of the show.
No.
It's not story time. You've been very clear that this is these are football.
You can't
Friday.
Do this to us. You have teased this three. Well, last week we forgot.
Yeah. Oh no! I'm. We're absolutely going to talk about this. You're simply setting up. Like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
And okay. It came from for you know, what eight weeks now, 10 weeks, 12 weeks. All we've been doing is talking about football. We don't tell stories like we do in the off season. So this was just like a one off, and it was because you were accusing me of being boring, and I was like, look, it's football season. You do it to yourself.
Like, that's so, true.
It's a valid point.
Yeah. I would never call you boring.
Touche. Touche.
Yeah. So the story is we were coming back in. So let me preface by saying I will not use the players' names.
Names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Or exactly. Guilty.
So we were coming in the day after a rough game. Like guys are injured, bunch of guys on crutches, like limping in. And the owner in the players' parking lot.
I'm laughing already, by the way. this is like my jam.
Their dealership, so they owned car dealerships.
Yeah.
And they would park the cars that they wanted to sell in front of the player's entrance, like in the parking spots, like right in the like right there, you know, there are a bunch of, you know, rich young guys and there's an Escalade sitting there. It's like, of course you want to buy the, you know? And so everybody walks by and as you're walking by, you, it wasn't so much the stench as it was the sheer size of this. I mean, we are talking about like it, we all get into the locker room and it's like, what in the hell was that? Did you see that? And they're like, yeah, I saw that. Did you see that? It's like, oh my god, it looks like a bear took a dump on the car. Like, I was like, we're all like, yeah, that's not human. There's no way somebody could do that. It's like, that figure's massive. I mean, we're talking like a pile the size like King Kong. Like the abominable snowman, like a massive pile of feces on the hood of this car that had been parked in the injured players' spots in an effort to get the players to walk by it and see it. But what happened is all these guys who were on crutches and all these guys who were limping in and, you know, coming in after, you know, iced up after a game, well, some people got pissed.
Yeah.
Like, people got really mad. And so somebody on the team convinced another person on the team to go talk to the head of security to make sure that at a certain time the camera system went on the fritz.
Jeez.
And so after that was confirmed, then and this was conveyed to me in, you know, secondhand info down the line. They then put on hooded sweatshirts, went to the cafeteria, and each got a carafe of coffee and a to-go container. And spent the next 30 to 45 minutes prepping the mission.
Percolating, if you will.
Percolating, yeah. Uh-huh. So after the percolation had finished, cue the cameras off, cue the hoods up, cue the to-go containers, and cue the giant, absolute pile of filth on the hood of the owner's car.
Right on the hood. Wait, was it the owner's car, or was this one of the cars that they had set out that they were trying to get the players
to buy, like one of the cars that the owner was trying to sell.
Yeah, because
this is a brand new car with the tags on it, right? Like sticker in the window. Hey, you know, $86,000, but to you guys, it's only $84. You know, and the players said, "Screw this! Here's a giant pile of." And he didn't park there the next day.
So wait, it sounds like there were multiple dumps. Were there multiple?
It sounds like maybe two.
There were
a second
two
spitter?
People. No. There were two. There were two. Two assassins. It was a multi-man mission.
Yeah.
Hence the size. Hence the sheer size, yeah. And people doubting whether or not this could be done by either A, one person, or B, was this actually human?
Yeah. And quite frankly, you do not have to confirm anything, but I believe this is a Detroit Lion mission, and I'm already going through because it's a lineman. That's 100%. This is 100% it's probably an offensive lineman, potentially an offense slash defense, a multifaceted joint task force. But this screams O-line, and I will not mention any names, but I'm already going through rosters, just chuckling to myself, being like, yeah, I bet you it's him. Trust me, this is 100% something that was hatched up in an O-line meeting. It's just, this is what they do, and it's magical, and I couldn't be any
Is he on to something?
So how do you want me to, because I don't want to completely shoot you down.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a yes.
Because I also love the fact that you feel a kindred spirit quality to this, to this mission.
Well, look,
but I will say that it is neither my first team nor the offensive line.
Interesting. That's an upset. Because I'll tell you right now, sitting in a locker room, if someone came to me with this sort of covert operation, I would pull the town. Whose car are we taking?
Can I? So I feel like, so if it wasn't your first team, then it wasn't Detroit. Then I think you were in Atlanta, and I feel like Arthur Blank may have dealerships.
Miami.
I don't know that Stephen Ross did.
New Orleans.
And then New Orleans. I think it's Atlanta.
It is the Dirty South.
I think it's Atlanta.
That's the definition of the Dirty South.
Are we close?
I see. Now we're getting down that path of starting to, to narrow things
so
down.
So it's Atlanta.
Yeah, it's probably Atlanta.
Yeah. Okay. And then
it warms my heart that this happened. It's just, there's something just disgusting and offensive and beautiful all wrapped into one.
You know what? It's so funny. Like you say that. And I think that in no other place could a giant pile of feces be considered like this incredible, I got your back moment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine in a locker room, like, you know, all these guys coming in after losing a game and literally seeing guys, braced up and just getting so upset as a team leader. And it's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go take a dump on his car.
Yeah. You know what? It sends a message is what it is.
It's Miami. Stephen Ross Auto. Ha ha. Ha.
Just love these sorts.
Stephen Ross Auto. He owns an auto dealership. Your silence speaks volumes.
This just makes me so happy.
Now,
it's just so funny that like I could continue to spin you in all sorts of different directions but at no point am I going to say what it is or what it is.
No, it's because it's better left that way. That's just one of those you just keep to your chest. You keep it close and it just becomes the stuff of lore, and it's wonderful.
Are we to assume that the dumps were taken on top of one another? Is that why they were so large?
Maybe combined.
So the dumps. So imagine a styrofoam to go, like the white styrofoam to go containers, right?
Okay.
So each participant filled one of those.
And then combine. God. Think like a Voltron and sort of thing. They combined forces.
Exactly. And then delivered said product to the hood of the automobile.
Right, because you wouldn't want to squat on the hood.
Exactly. Because you only had a few seconds, right, when the cameras were going to go on the Fritz, right?
Oh.
That's a very integral piece or integral a part of this, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to imagine, like... God. Guys are coming in injured in the morning, right? You got to come in early for treatment. So you're seeing all these guys, and we're talking like 6:30 in the morning, right, Suk? I mean, you come in after a game and to get treatment the next day. And so for this to happen, this had to be a coordinated effort before everybody else got there, right? So all the injured guys come in at, you know, 7 o'clock, right? Pick your number. And then everybody else comes in at 8 o'clock, right? But so you had that time there where it's like, I have to consume the coffee, I have to get the to-go containers filled with the product, and I have to coordinate just the quick, 15 seconds to walk outside the locker room door to deliver the package and still make it look like it was just a blip in the security camera.
Dude, it's like Ocean's 11. You guys are like the USS Indianapolis delivering the bomb, the Hiroshima bomb. Like, you got it. I mean, it's covert stuff. And I respect the secrecy of said mission and the planning. I mean, that's professional work right there. It's great.
Yeah. And you weren't pulling a squat in the public because that gets you. I mean, you're on the first thing smoking. Yeah. You know, can you imagine, like, and this is the other thing too. Like, I sit there and laugh about it to myself sometimes. And then I think, in what other world would somebody dare drop a deuce on your boss's car?
You don't.
And not just like your boss, but like these like literally people like who, I don't know, like, man, we got to talk about how the NFL isn't a real, like, it's not real world. Like, it's like this otherworldly experience.
Don't piss off NFL players.
No.
Duly noted.
Yes.
Did you ever, I was watching the Browns.
Take a dump on the owner's car? No, I did not.
I would not peg you as one to do such a thing. I was watching the Browns Steelers last night, and I'm convinced that Myles Garrett.
He's watching the Browns.
That's right.
Hey, that was a great game.
It is the Browns.
I loved that. Yeah, well, yeah, it all ties in. Works. And Myles, I'm convinced that Myles Garrett continues to get bigger until he's going to explode. He looks like Hulk Hogan now.
Terrifying.
It is terrifying. Who was the biggest guy, the most jacked guy you ever played with or around or against?
Jacked or biggest?
Yeah,
like,
they're different.
Jacked. Miles Garrett. Hey, did you see Miles Garrett last night?
No.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's massive.
He is. His arms are bigger than my whole body. Yeah. He is two of me on his arms.
Yeah. But see, there's a difference though, because, like, remember? So I was in the league when David Boston was there.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah. Remember David Boston?
He worked out. He worked out with Thomas Jones in Arizona, who was with me in Tampa. I think they were on the same program.
Right. So, like, there are guys that are just, like, yoked beyond belief, but he took it to a point where it was detrimental, right? So there are only a handful. I mean, let me quantify this. The level of jacked or yoked or buffedness is not, like, you know, normal day-to-day point of comparison. Like, the floor of this is already, like, through the ceiling of most normal people. So, like, to say that David Boston was just over the top is, like, ridiculous over the top. But in terms of, I mean, God, like, but there's also, like, massive, massive human beings out there. Like, Vince Wilfork, like, he and by no means jacked, but massive, and he was faster than me.
Yeah, he's oversized.
That's like the tough question is it a 6'6", 265-pound Brian Urlacher, like, standing over the top of the center, knowing that he could get from there all the way back and play center field and cover two? Or is it Vince Wilfork, who at 385 pounds could chase me down? Or is it a guy like David Boston, who you're like, you're literally just looking for the most ripped guy out there?
Yeah, we played in the preseason, because that's mostly what I did, was preseason stuff. We played Chicago, and they had – do you remember Ted Washington?
Yes.
Do yourself a favor if you're listening and look up Ted Washington. And I don't know what Ted was listed at, but he was the largest human being. Like, he didn't move. They just put him at nose guard, and that was it. Like,
and he plugged a hole. He
plugged like nine holes.
Yeah, Pat Williams. Remember Pat Williams?
Yeah, I remember Pat Williams.
Yep. Gilbert Fat Pat was just a touch below that, where you paired him with Kevin Williams, and the two of them were wrecking shop in Minnesota.
They listed Ted Washington at 6'6", 375. I'll tell you right now, if he's 375, horse crap, then I'm 215. Dude, Ted was four spins, and you just... Chester McGill. I mean, there's a difference between.
Yeah, I was looking for jacked. Yeah. You know, like, because Myles Garrett, like, I don't even know how to describe him.
Yeah.
At any rate, we must break. Do you think Joey Harrington is worried about Dan Lanning's aggressive nature? Find out next on The Fan. All right, we're back here with Joey Harrington, Football Friday. Let's get into something of some substance.
Oh, we've been dealing with substance.
We've been with plenty of substance. There's a lot already.
Can we clean it up? Maybe some cleaner substances?
Cleaner substances, that's true.
Okay, first of all, this is the tee-up question is what did you think of the Oregon going for the fake field goal in Wisconsin?
I think the better question is, were you surprised about the fake field goal?
Well, you can't be surprised, can you? That's him.
Right. Exactly. That's my point. Right. Like, you have to accept what I have had the guts to call that thing. No, of course not. Right. But there was obviously something that they saw, some look that they wanted. The crazy thing is, had tight end simply released, taken an inside release and not swung wide, you know, that they'd still probably be running. The thing was, it was there.
Yeah.
Now, I think you have to, you know that something like this is coming. You do. Whether it's the onside kick against Ohio State, whether it's going for it on the goal line on fourth down against Washington, like, he has established that this is the style of football he's going to play, and frankly, I love it. I do. I love the aggressive nature, and with that, you have to accept that sometimes it's going to bite you.
Yeah, and I think go ahead.
That's the tough part, is you can't second guess and say, oh, I liked it, I didn't like it, because your opinion is always based on whether or not it worked, right? If it worked, oh my God, that's the greatest call in the world. Like, you know, oh, you know, big, you know, what they used to call, all the student section, like, you know, they, you know, big balls chip. And like, because when it works, it's great, but this didn't work. And so I don't feel like you can make a neutral observation around it, because you have the results already.
Yeah.
Am I surprised that he did it? Nope, I'm not.
Well,
he's aggressive. He's going to play percentages. I would be curious to know what the conversation was around it, right? Because that was what I thought immediately afterwards, is like, if you're going to go for it on fourth down, well, or I should say this, was it a four down situation? And if it wasn't a four down situation, are you trying to get the field goal? Do you feel like the fake field goal is your best option because they're giving you a look that you like? Maybe they gave it to you earlier in the game, right? So then do you run the ball? You ran the ball three times leading up to it. I don't know. Like, I'm just really curious to know what the conversation was that led to that situation.
We had him on yesterday, and we pressed him on that.
Yeah.
We did talk to him about that. And, you know, he, without saying it, he basically is just saying, hey, if the look's there, we're going to take it. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, is that how you see it too?
He basically said that in that situation, if the look was there, we run it. If the look's not there, I kick the field goal and I let our defense play. Yes. So he said it was a check call that they went up there, and he said, regardless of the situation, if that look had been there, we're running.
And you're right. He even said, he's like, that was there.
Yeah.
And it was there. Just the guy made a great play, tripped him up. But I feel like, but then Suk was pressing him on, well, you know, does the situation in the game matter? Is it just always going to be like that? And he kind of basically said, you know, it's just always going to be like that. Yeah. He's just going to look at the situation and say, that's a look we want. We're going to do it.
Yeah, because I was like, I mentioned a lot of times now in the NFL especially, I don't think it's trickled down quite as much to college, but you're seeing more and more coaches just like, I'm ending the game here. Like, We're not playing conservative. We're not, especially against like Mahomes and Josh Allen. We're not kicking field goals going up by six and giving you the ball. We're not doing it.
Yeah, but there's even a difference between just saying we're not or we're ending the game here, whether we get it or don't. And what Dan is saying, there's a difference between that and saying, if the look is there, regardless of the situation, we're going to take it, right? Those are two different things to me.
The first is
like, you know, percentages be damned. I'm just going to go for it. Dan's situation is, essentially, it's like a check with me. You get to the line of scrimmage. You get the you look for the look that you like on the other side, and you run your play accordingly. And I'm okay with that. That's smart football. And I think that if you start to change away from that or shy away from that, just because the situation, I don't know, you get nervous, or because you're trying to preserve something, or because you're trying not to lose, then that's exactly what's going to happen, right? You know, it's there's a difference between scared money don't make money and being reckless just for the sake of being reckless. And I think there's always been a reason behind the aggressive decisions that Dan has made.
Well, he's talked about it. I mean, people sometimes make stuff more complicated than it has to be, but I mean, Joey knows, he's a quarterback. As an old lineman, we just come up on a lot of it is just a count. Like, you know, hey, do we have four or do we have five to the side? If we have four, we run the play. If we have five, we either go, you know, with a kill and we change to something else, or we run it to the other side. And, you know, I mean, there is something simplistic, but also, I mean, it's, you appreciate the fact that that's what I took it as. It's simply a count. If we outnumber them, we are going to do this. And he really doesn't care about the situation. He proved it. He ran a fake punt in a somewhat close game. It wasn't a blowout yet. He ran a fake punt from his own 20-yard line to Jordan Birch, for God's sakes. Why? Because the look was there.
And because Jordan Birch is a 6'5", 290-pound running back, that's why.
Right, but I mean, you would think that, like, that just, if you want to know that he doesn't care and it is literally based on the count and this is the look, that's the one that you're like, well, if it's there, they're going to do it.
And I guess you're right.
And I don't care about the blame or the consequences. He will sit there, as Rob said, and be like, what? The number was there.
Well, you're right about consistency. I'm with you on that. Hey, that's who he is. Expect it. But I thought the Wisconsin game was interesting because it was the complete opposite of the Ohio State game.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done it.
And I wouldn't have done it either. I would have just kicked. I would have taken three. You hate going up six.
Yeah.
But if you get three there, you now force Wisconsin to have to score a touchdown, and they were not going to score a touchdown. So I think it's a different game, and you have to view it differently.
Who says you get three?
Yeah, it was.
I mean, we're making the assumption like there's three scenarios in this. The first is that there's four scenarios. The first is you run the fake and don't get it, which is what happened. The second is you run the fake and you do get it, in which case ball game's over. The third situation is you kick it and go up six. The fourth situation is you kick it and you miss. Like, these are all realistic scenarios.
But that's the same as not getting the fake.
Yeah.
And it's a way higher percentage chance of getting the field goal than the fake.
Sure.
So, I just think
it's interesting.
Look, there are people that are worried that this is going to bite Oregon in the biggest moment. Yeah. And that may be true. And I think that if that happens, we're all going to come back here and say, hey, well, okay, but
this is him.
And that's you'd rather lose that way than... Yeah. Him, like you say, getting conservative.
I would too. I will not be the one that fillets him in a national title game. If something like that happens and they lose, you will not get criticism from me because he has shown you who he is. And you can't love it when it's against Texas Tech in the third quarter and hate it. Or, you know, and he did it against Washington. I mean, he's just, this is him.
He's consistent.
Yeah.
The other thing too, though, you got to understand is, well, I shouldn't say it like that, but this program hasn't won a national championship.
True.
No.
Gotta go for it.
What? Exactly. Yeah. Like, would you rather sit there and be conservative and still sit on the edge? Like, let's say you get to that situation where a decision that Dan makes ends up costing, you know, you don't get it and you lose.
Yeah.
I would much rather be in that situation saying, you know what, I laid everything out there, as opposed to saying, you know what, I tried to save it and I tried to get conservative, and you know what, I still, like, I'm sorry.
I agree.
Like,
it's a good point.
I, Yeah. As somebody who has helped build this program and have sat here for what, the better part of 2.5 decades saying, dang, we're close. Dang, we're close. Dang, we're close. Man, let's go get it.
You know who comes to mind when you say that? The Bills.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills, you know, a couple decisions here and there against the Chiefs, yeah. And then they get into a game against the Chiefs last week.
They learned,
and they said, you know what, we're going, they pulled the Dan Lenny. Like, yeah. We're going to run this. Yes. We're going to get the first down.
And I love that. And
That's how you win.
Yes. I will never fault teams. Ravens did it right. Bengals did it going for two to win a game and you miss it. If you tell me that I've got one play to win a game, I will never fault the coach for having the big onions or big balls or whatever to say, we win it right here. And in that situation, it's not even if you don't get it, you lose it. But in the 2-point world, it does, right? You lose the game. I just will not be critical of something one play. Because if you told most people in a huge opportunity, you get one play to win this thing, I think most people take that, especially if maybe you're an underdog.
I agree.
Okay. Thanks for the doo-doo stories. That was great.
I love that.
Yeah. I got all sorts of these fun things.
The old rookie dookie.
We're going to figure it out.
You're actually not going to figure it out.
Really? It was you, wasn't it?
No, you're not. It was me.
All right. Well, have a great weekend and enjoy the bye. And we'll talk Huskies next week. Thanks.
Yeah, see you guys.
All right. That's Joe Harrington, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. What if this happened on your flight? Next in the club on The Fan.